Words on Water.
Welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is Travis Loop, the host. I am very happy to be joined by Chris Hartman. He is a stormwater technical specialist with Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District. Chris, how's it going today?
Going great. Thanks for having me, Travis.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm excited to talk to you guys. Water Environment Federation, about a year or two ago, unveiled the National Green Infrastructure Certification Program. And it's really a way to address the need to have trained people out there working on installing and especially maintaining green infrastructure. And you guys have kind of taken advantage of this program and done some things with it. And I'm really interested to talk about that. But first, what's kind of Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District, what's your approach to green infrastructure? How do you use it? How is the utility looking to kind of change or expand the use of green infrastructure?
Well, the primary way that we use green infrastructure is through our Project Clean Lake program. So this is the district's response to a consent decree that addresses the combined sewer overflows in our service area. It's a 25-year program that will reduce pollution in Lake Erie by an estimated 4 billion gallons per year when it's all said and done.
Wow, that's good stuff.
Yes, it is. So that's about 90% of what was going into the lake before we started the program. So this is it's a combination of gray and green, actually. There's a lot of seven different large tunnel projects that we're involved with. Treatment plant improvements and expansion, and of course the green infrastructure component as well. And we've completed construction of 9 separate large-scale green infrastructure projects totaling $55 million in the capital improvements. And these are designed, of course, to store, infiltrate, and evapotranspirate stormwater before it makes its way to the combined sewers. And they're not just stormwater control measures. Rather, these facilities actually provide a multitude of co-benefits that we focus on and community amenities that provide passive recreation opportunities. We also have our Green Infrastructure Grants Program on top of that, which is probably the other big way that we utilize green infrastructure. So that is a funding opportunity that's open to member communities, government entities and nonprofit organizations, as well as private businesses that are working in partnership with those communities as well. Folks in our combined sewer area are eligible for these grants. It's the folks that are interested in implementing green infrastructure practices and projects that remove stormwater from the combined sewer system. Obviously, our goal is to increase the resiliency of the combined sewers. So that's what drives our interest in this as well. But the awardees, the folks that get these grants, are they maintain the long-term ownership of the practices, and they provide the perpetual maintenance that's needed.
And you mentioned, you know, kind of the other benefits that come with it, right? It's not just treating stormwater, but it has that multitude of other positives, especially kind of it's just nice for communities to have. What's been the reaction, you know, in the neighborhoods where green infrastructure's gone in? I mean, you hear from the public and residents that they like having these kind of features?
You get some mixed reactions. There's a lot of skepticism, of course, initially.
Interesting.
When we say we're coming in there, you know, a lot of these are placed in underserved communities. That's where the skepticism comes in of what they don't understand what we're doing. So it takes a lot of communication, a lot of education to bring them to an understanding that we're there to accomplish two things. We're there to, you know, address the stormwater issue first and foremost. But we want to leave behind something that they can enjoy. Not that our leave behind are the community amenities are parks, but they provide a park-like setting in effect. Mm-hmm. Picnic tables, bike parking areas, places to hang out, places to recreate, even nature activities like bird watching. We've seen wildlife in these practices that we never saw before in the area. So it's interesting, and I think they've taken a very positive approach when they see that kind of thing.
Sure, absolutely. So as you know, as you're looking to put in this green infrastructure as part of the, you know, the work to take care of good old Lake Erie there, how and why did you all kind of decide to use the National Green Infrastructure Certification Program?
So we obviously, we've touched base on the nine different green infrastructure projects that are part of Project Clean Lake. We're committed, obviously, to ensuring that those will remain as attractive features to our communities and to the residents that are adjacent to them. And we want them to be viewed positively by the folks that live, work, and play in those areas, of course. But more importantly, we want to provide or ensure the intended function, the stormwater function, is maintained in perpetuity as well. That's where we get the most benefit directly from our investment. The history beyond that, though, the district actually owns nearly 300 different properties in the residential and non-residential locations. So we took ownership of many of those because we simply needed access to our combined sewer system that lies beneath. So our goal is always to be a good neighbor when it comes to maintaining those properties. And we want to maintain them in a cost-effective way, which was really what we consider the birth of our Good Neighbor Ambassador program. So the Good Neighbor Ambassadors are 8 to 10 young men and women that are hired on an annual basis for a one-year time period. And they work as liaisons between the sewer district, our various communities, and business organizations, as well as the general public. It's a workforce development program that was designed to prepare them for future employment, either with the district or even with outside companies. And it became obvious that the need to provide general landscaping maintenance of our multitude of properties and the need to maintain the function and the community amenities that are part of these nine GI projects, they demanded similar skill sets. So the questions were then asked, well, how do we build a green infrastructure training into our Good Neighbor Ambassador program in a meaningful way? You know, are there any related certification programs that would increase their competitiveness in the job market as they learn these skills? And are there even any green infrastructure focused jobs available for them to move into to begin their careers and to earn a living wage after their time with us has passed? So there was a committee of interested organizations, of course, including the district, that acquired a grant. And the grant was designed to conduct a green infrastructure jobs and certifications demand study. So as part of that study, we looked at the programs that were in place at Washington, D.C., and then Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and that was our first real exposure to the National Green Infrastructure Certification Program. Kind of building on that a little bit, as far as why we moved forward with that, the demand study itself found that the Northeast Ohio region could support upwards of 40 full-time positions related to green infrastructure maintenance. And that was based on the number of practices that were known to be out there in our 3 to 4 county area that they looked at. And that number actually possibly could increase to 50 full-time positions if you took into account your traditional detention and retention basin as well.
Chris, when you talk about these positions, is the vision that these would be with not with the utility, but they would be with contractors, they would be with different companies that would, you know, then service green infrastructure? Or, yeah, where would those positions, you know, be housed, if you will?
Certainly the bulk of those positions would be with the folks that are directed to maintain them. And that would, we anticipated being a lot of the landscaping firms out here that are already doing a lot of landscape maintenance on a contracted basis with various landowners. So there was a focus, there has been a focus in our area to get those people trained up so that they knew what they were looking at and knew how to respond to problems related to those practices.
Gotcha.
The committee that I was talking about also was tasked with determining how to provide this training to all these folks once we knew there was a real opportunity for jobs in the future to sustain a career. But at the same time this was all happening, we were becoming kind of increasingly aware of maintenance demands of the green infrastructure design features and the associated amenities at our own 9 projects. You know, we build them, you anticipate the maintenance, but you don't really know how much maintenance it's really going to take until you start maintaining them. So we contracted this work out initially, and found that the companies that were doing the work, there was a lot of turnover in their employment because a lot of the maintenance takes place on a seasonal basis. Mm. And so you get a lot of seasonal employees. And so you train one group of one season of employees and they're gone. And then you have to retrain the next year, the same crew, if you will. And that was becoming costly and ineffective because we were seeing problems with the lack of knowledge of what to do that we did the year before on different design features. So we thought, you know, we needed to take more full ownership of the projects, and that would help us reduce our costs, but more importantly, provide the consistency from year to year to year that we're going to need to do the right type of maintenance. Kind of summing that up, we had a regional workforce need that was identified. We recognized that we had our own need. So NGICP, the certification program, fit the bill and allowed us the opportunity to utilize internal resources, being our good neighbor ambassadors. So there wasn't any need to reinvent the wheel in that.
Yeah, fantastic. So you identified NGICP as a great way to kind of get this certification, this training for that kind of that key domino of maintenance when it comes to green infrastructure. So how did you guys then go about implementing it, you know, kind of plugging in and bringing NGICP there?
Yeah, so the district invested in becoming a partner organization with NGICP. So we have 2 district employees that completed the train the trainer course. I'm, of course, one of those. And the program itself was piloted in the summer of 2019, so last summer. And we had 7 initial trainees. 5 of those trainees were part of our Good Neighbor Ambassador program, part of that cohort. And there was an additional district employee that participated in it that was is involved and has responsibilities for contract procurement for other maintenance needs we have for these practices. And then, of course, we had a lot of partnering agencies, of course. So an employee of one of the local community development corporations that is a frequent awardee of our green infrastructure grants took advantage of that training as well. So they had somebody on staff that could speak to these issues. So we conducted the 35-hour course over a span of 1 week. So we crammed it all in. It was a lot of work. And I would estimate about 60% of that time was classwork and about 40% of that time was in-field tours and inspections, mock inspections, things like that. So we did a lot of hands-on activities, as many as we could, that we could squeeze in the allotted time. And Travis, I'm not sure if you've taken the coursework or not, but if you have, I'm sure you've heard of the bioretention in a bucket activity that is part of that training. That was probably the biggest hit of the class, where the folks actually get to build a bioretention cell in a 5-gallon bucket. So they could see the layering and understand the construction process and the maintenance.
So that's a very kind of enlightening activity, right? You visually and physically get to be like, oh, this is the whole idea behind green infrastructure. This is what we mean to let it soak in, right?
Right. That was the aha moment.
Yeah.
In many of the class. So all 7 students completed the class, and we're thrilled to say that all 7 passed the certification exam as well. But where this led is really exciting. So the district hired 3 of the Good Neighbor Ambassador trainees as green infrastructure maintenance interns as of September of last year. And this is a pilot 1-year internship, where we're going to, this is where we're going to have more ownership and have more hands-on maintenance responsibilities with regard to managing the vegetation better in our practices, as well as those community amenities. But what was really cool about this is that we only anticipated hiring one person to fill that. And the three Good Neighbor Ambassadors that interviewed for the job so impressed the interview team with their competency of GI maintenance comprehension that they decided to expand it and hire all three at that time.
That's awesome. And that's, you know, I think that from the Water Environment Federation's perspective, that is just one of the huge goals of this whole program, not just to get green infrastructure out there in communities, but the job creation side of this and helping to build the workforce. So that's awesome to hear that was bumped up in the hiring. So what's next? Where are you guys looking to go with, you know, use of NGICP and in there in the Cleveland area?
Well, certainly we're going to capitalize and build upon what we've learned so far and how we've used it. But with our partnership that we have with NGICP program, we still have another 13 students that we plan on training this upcoming spring, early summer. So there's a new cohort of Good Neighbor Ambassadors that we currently employ at this time. We have several internal staff that have expressed interest that we work alongside with. Interestingly enough, a couple of those staff members are primarily focused on our GIS efforts in the office, but they work alongside us with, you know, maintaining the database of practices out there. So they want to have a better feel for what these practices do and, you know, how they're maintained in the long run. So that's exciting to see. And of course, we're going to offer that to some external folks from partnering organizations. We'll see what kind of space we have available for them. But if there is room for them, we're going to bring them in as well. So we still consider this a pilot program. We're really happy with the results thus far. And we're excited about the opportunities that it's going to provide to us in the future. We do plan on taking on a more proactive maintenance role, utilizing those internal resources like we've started. And we recognize the advantages, obviously, of what NGICP provides to us. So utilizing knowledgeable internal resources allows us to be really creative with our maintenance activities with our GI features. Beyond that, at this time, it's to be determined how NGICP will be dovetailed into our program. I like it. I think it's a lot of fun. And, you know, it's fun to train people who, you know, some of these folks have never really been exposed to green infrastructure. So we're taking them. This is not 101 training either. This is, you know, nuts and bolts of every little detail you'd ever want to know about green infrastructure. We go through this. So it's been a fun experience providing that to them and seeing how they succeed with it.
It definitely takes them from, you know, like you said, from really not knowing anything in some cases to being certified to install and maintain this kind of stuff. So that's awesome to hear. And then these people can kind of be ambassadors for it as well in the community, right? They all of a sudden have this knowledge that they can share with others and kind of educate their family and friends and all that stuff.
Our Good Neighbor Ambassadors are folks that live in our communities where we have constructed some of these. And we've had firsthand accounts where they've told us stories of, you know, they can now go out and take their neighbors and their family to our practices and explain what it's all about. So it means something different to the local residents when it comes from somebody that has grown up in the neighborhood versus, you know, somebody just from the sewer district going out and explaining to them.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, I look forward to following the path of green infrastructure there and in the greater Cleveland area, and seeing how you guys use this program. You're on kind of the early years of it. So it's great. And I think one of the reasons I want to do this podcast is so other, you know, cities can hear what you all have done and maybe hopefully kind of follow in your footsteps. So, Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you, Travis. It was a great time talking to you, and thanks for the opportunity.
Words on Water.